to chat about it. We're joined now by our TSN hockey analyst, Dave Pullen, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. How much of this with Toronto and Tampa recently, Pooley, do you think is simply the human element, where there's been trades, there's new bodies, and there's also this formality of understanding who you're going to play in 3 weeks?
I think that's a little bit of everything, Brian. And, you know, it's funny on the desperate side, because we talked about this last night. Everybody they play right now is more desperate than them. It just is. And the best teams have to figure out a way to construct some sort of a desperate mode when it's not really there. Like, it's, you know, Boston's able to do it. It's strange. Like, they win games because they kind of, they're out seasoned. Like, they're seasoned more than Ottawa was last night. You know, they just figure out a way to do just enough to get through. And it's not always a blowout, but they figure out a way to win. It used to drive me crazy. You know, I played for some really good teams, and we'd have teams come in that were either out of the playoffs or they were desperate, and you look at them and laugh, you played like this all year, you'd be in first place. Like, where did this come from? But it's almost like a team can save its season even by finishing strong if they're not a playoff team. Or, you know, they can just make it hard on somebody down the stretch or be a spoiler or whatever it is. But now they're going into Florida. Well, Florida's going to be the same way. Carolina's fighting for first place. Nashville's scrapping for the playoffs. And they got Florida again at home. So every night, this is what they're going to face. And I think the problem is, it's that's who they're going to face. Who is they? And they haven't quite established with their new group, you know, who they are. We've watched the number of line changes, and that's a luxury Sheldon Keefe has. But, you know, it's got to settle in at some point here, and they've got to move forward as a group.
That's where I was going to go, Pooley. We talked about it in the last hour, the number of line changes and, you know, players that have come into the lineup. At what point do you feel like there has to be some stability there where you can have a, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 game run with the same players where you get some chemistry, some familiarity, so it becomes instinct and you don't have to think about who's on your line?
We're getting real close to that, Jamie. Like, yeah. It's pretty much now for me. I really think it is, and going through this stretch, because you want to see it against a Carolina too. You just don't want to see it against, I don't know, Columbus. I mean, you want to see it against good teams and against, you know, and so particularly on D, because I think Sheldon Keefe has a luxury now that he hasn't had in a long time, and that's more than 6 defensemen. And it's nice to say, okay, well, we got to get everybody happy and we got to play everybody. And, you know, it's so nice to have options, but I think you got to pick your 6, and I think you got to go. I really do. And particularly for partners, I think it's really important for a D partner, and there isn't a settling. Even, you know, if you think of when Hall played his best, it was with Muzzin. That was your pair. You know those guys were going to be together. Hall had comfort in that. Muzzin was good at what he did. You can't tell me one pair right now. Like, I would go with Riley and TJ Brody, but you can't tell me there's one pair right now on Leaf D. You go, okay, that pair is automatic.
Well, Pooley, I'm curious if you see this as a gelling experiment, or is this a identity search? And is there a difference? In other words, like, do they know their identity and they just got to find out who's going to play together? Or are they still trying to find that in a way in terms of how they're playing and what Keefe is looking for?
Okay, as a regular on the show, I think I'm allowed to say this. That is a great question.
Wow.
Thank you, Pooley.
That is a great question, because I'm not sure they know the answer, guys. I'm not. Like, I don't think they know. I don't think they have an identity. And in terms of what this group is going to be, like, what role Ryan O'Reilly is going to play, well, you're not going to be able to find that out because he's hurt. But what is this D going to look like? And you know, it's a great – you phrased it really well, because both of them are issues. And I don't think there's an answer to that yet, but I think they're both real issues. And, you know, I had comfort from playing with line mates. And hey, once in a while, I didn't mind being broken up at all. It was kind of fresh when you walked in and saw, you know, different colored practice jerseys or whatever. But we're getting to a point now where, yes, identity, but role within that identity has to be firmly established, and I don't think it is.
You mentioned it, Pooley. Like, if I take a look at that defensive core, are there four guys that are absolute locks in the lineup for you, or five, and then you rotate through? Like, for me, I'm looking at Riley Brody. Would you say McCabe, Liljegren?
I think, like, Giordano's a lock, don't you?
Okay, but here's the thing. Could you envision, and this is where I'm going. This is a good point, Brian.
Thank you.
Envision a third pairing where it's Giordano and Shen? Because that you know, we're talking about speed and heaviness and all of that type of stuff. Giordano can be heavy and strong on the wall. Same thing with Shen. But, you know, if you're on the road and you don't get the matchup you want, that third pairing might have a rough go if you get some speedsters.
Yeah. So the four locks for me are the three lefty. And so Riley, McCabe, and Gio, and then Brody on the right. And then I think Shen starts, but I'd actually consider starting him with McCabe. And then, you know, have Gio play with Liljegren or Hall, who Liljegren wasn't very good last night, by the way, or Hall, or, you know, however that part shakes out. But I am concerned about foot speed. I think that's a legitimate concern for that group. And if they play, and now I don't think the foot speed is as much of a factor against Tampa as right. It is against maybe a Carolina or a Jersey. Like, that's where I think you run into difficulty is, you know, where you use Luke Shen. Luke Shen can stop the cycle. That's where I see him effective against a Tampa, you know, stopping a Corey Perry cycle, stopping a Killorn cycle. Those guys get down there and they get grinding around down there. He can end a cycle with a hit. He can do that. He can clean out the front of the net. He'll be physical in the neutral zone. But pure foot speed, you have to worry about. I mean, you have to. And you have to with Gio. And even with Liljegren, Liljegren's a really good skater, but I worry about foot speed because I worry about decision-making with Liljegren.
David, how sophisticated is the pre-scout with Tampa Bay? Is it not that much because they played each other last year, or is it like... Is it all video stuff that they're preparing, that they got guys from Toronto watching Tampa and vice versa? How sophisticated is that process?
It's pretty sophisticated, though. It really is. And I think you've got to be careful with how much you give your guys. They do know them. They've played them a couple of years in a row. Some things won't change for them. Maybe a little bit on special teams. Maybe they'll throw a different look in on a special team up ice. Maybe even more aggressive shorthanded. But I think there's a real danger in going into a playoff series in way too much information, because there's so much information available now. I mean, I find it sometimes when I'm prepping for a game. Like, I'm just prepping for a game. And by the way, I'm not going to win or lose the game. And I'm still like, man, there's a lot of information here. And I don't have anything at stake. I just want a good call. And sometimes you got to pare it down and say, and I can't throw all these numbers at people. I just can't. Well, you can't throw that much at players either, because it can get upside down.
Is it better? I was talking to a manager the other day who said there are players, like you just said, Pooley, who know the league inside and out, and there are other guys who could not tell you 10 players on the other team.
No. Or in the league, Jamie.
Like, just show up and they play hockey, and pre-scouts are not for them. It's, you know, systems are very dumbed down for them because they just want to go out and play, and they play a certain way. And it's, what is better? Is it, you know, ignorance is bliss, or is it overload so that you're prepared to a point where you know exactly the tendencies of who you're facing and everyone involved, and even the refs? There's a website, Scouting the Refs. You know, Pooley, you talk about it on air all the time. Like, refs have tendencies and almost scouting reports of how they ref certain teams.
I go on that website and I have a sense, particularly if it's a rookie and a vet, you know, there's somebody with 1,200 games, somebody with 50 games, and I go on the site all the time to see who's going to be ref, and I'm sure they do.
Yeah.
Jamie, I'd rather have a guy that knows how he's going to play than somebody who knows how they're going to play. I just would. And I think you can give guys, certain guys, you can give too much information. I played with guys that that knew, man, those Sutter brothers, they not only knew everybody in the league, they knew their sisters, their brothers, their uncles, their aunts. They talk about guys, and you'd be looking, going, "Are you got to be kidding me right now?" And then their brothers knew the guys they didn't know that well, so it was like, "Oh my God!" And when I started, I didn't know anybody in the league. You know, I knew a few guys from, like, no one I played Tier 2 against was in the NHL. And then I was in college, and no one on my own team through that time was in the NHL. And, you know, I knew a handful of guys by name, but you only played four games against them over the course of a year, so you didn't really know them. And I didn't know anybody. I didn't know anybody from junior hockey. I didn't know anybody at all, and I think it was better off for it. I really did. I didn't fear guys because I didn't know them. I wasn't smart enough to know them, so I didn't. You know, I just went out and played. And I really think that is a point that you've got to know your guys, and some guys are better when they just know what they do. And you know, this sounds crazy, but the Boston goal last night that they tied it up 1-1 with Ottawa.
Yeah.
It was a power play goal, 5-on-3. They got the puck to the point. They put it in the middle at Lindholm. He took a wrist shot at the net. It wasn't 9 passes and set plays that coaches had drawn up. They took a wrist shot at the net. Bergeron was in front of the net. Krejci was crashing it from the side. They bang a rebound in. That's how their power play started on the 5-on-3. A wrist shot from the middle at the point. And that's why their power play is so good. Sure, they've got their little nuances, and, you know, certainly Bergeron knows where Pasternak pops to, or Marchand knows this or that.
Yeah.
But when they start power plays, they start by pounding the puck in the net, go getting it, and now you're out of your defensive structure. So I think there can be too much information. I'd rather have a guy that knows himself than knows what he thinks the other guy is going to do.
With Dave Poulin. Pooley, you're a Washington Capital alumni, so I think it's perfect that you're on today so I can ask this question, and maybe you can explain it to me. Because Alex Ovechkin, they had a ceremony last night for him passing Gordie Howe.
Wasn't that like a month ago?
Well, on top of that, Howe was second. Like, when do you have ceremonies for being second on a list? I was confused by that. Like,
come
it's
on,
almost,
dude. Gordie Howe. I mean,
but it's Gretzky you're chasing. Like, I just didn't. It was almost like Washington's like, we're done. We're, you know, season's over. Let's make it about Ovi scoring 40, which he did last night. He passes Gretzky on. That's worthy of a ceremony. 40 goals or more, 13 seasons now in his career. He's number one.
Yeah.
But, well, you're right on a couple fronts. They're maybe saying we got to celebrate something, but I still think, like, passing Gordie Howe. Pooley, isn't that something?
He's second.
Yeah, it's huge, and they acknowledged it when he passed him. I think Mark Howe was following the team around for a little bit.
There. Really? Yeah.
Yeah, he was. He was. So he could be there to acknowledge it. But I don't see, quite frankly, I think you do it when you do it and you acknowledge it, but maybe it's because it's from such a different generation.
I was like, am I behind? Are these getting retweeted? I see Austin Matthews congratulating him. I'm like, passing Gordie Howe. I'm like, that was a month ago. Now,
he did go away to his father's funeral.
I was just going to say, his father passed away. They probably were unable to do things for him immediately because he was gone. So
that has to be it.
Yeah, that has to be it because he's got 820 goals, not 803. Like,
right,
he's 17 goals later. Right, so I think it's got to be tied to his father passing and him back playing now, and now they're going to kind of have the shout-out for him because I thought it was cool, a lot of people giving him love, but I was like, am I missing something?
But like, when do we celebrate second on a list? I can't recall the last time that happened. Like, when Bonds passed Babe Ruth, we can look it up. Maybe there was a celebration. I don't know. Guys, I know there was when he passed Aaron.
I can tell you when I saw that on SportsCenter, I thought it was like the best 25 things that have happened in the last. Like, I thought it was that part of the show.
Right.
I didn't think it was something live. I thought it was like, oh, this is the best of, or, you know, this is.
Right.
So, because I just didn't click into me that would even be something. Like, it just didn't. And I'm not in any way disrespecting Gordie Howe. I just didn't click in a month later that's what I would be watching, you know, is passing. And again, for second place. Unless you got no chance in number one, but I think he does. So,
well, that's it. That's what I'm saying. Like, the ceremony for Gretzky, you know, that if and when he passes him, Gretzky will be in the building.
Oh, I think he's going to pass him.
It feels
like he's going to play until he passes him.
I think that might be a league. Like, I remember the day Gretzky retired. It was a league thing. We were playing in L.A. that I was with St. Louis. We were playing in L.A. Gretzky was in New York. They had a simulcast right through the league. Like, we actually, in L.A., the St. Louis Blues and the L.A. Kings watched it on the Jumbotron and saluted Gretzky in his last game and all of that. Like, I mean, I think it might be that big if he passes Gretzky. Like, this will be a league-wide thing, and
it should be. But you can't predict when it's going to happen, right? He may go 10 games without scoring, 15 games without scoring. Like,
I think they're going to set that one up. They're going to make sure they squeeze every single thing out of it from a league standpoint, from an Ovi standpoint, from a Gretz standpoint.
Yeah.
And Gretz will be unbelievably gracious, you know that?
Yeah,
absolutely.
He will be. He'll be there, and he'll be, you know, he'll be in full support of that because he will. As Gordy would have had he been alive.
Yeah, of course. No question. No, it's not about Gordie Howe or anything. It's that it's second.
No, but you're right. When that happened, I thought, you know, I mean, you miss things, right? You're like, what did I miss here?
Like, okay. All right, there you go.
Out of touch.
Yeah. All right, Pooley. Great stuff, buddy. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
Okay, guys. I got Montreal here in Boston. I just landed in Boston, so I got Montreal here tomorrow night. There'll be a handful for them, but Boston will figure out a way to get it done, is my guess.
Thanks for saying, because Hazy's been on a long slump of not, like, great question. So thanks for pumping his tires, because it's
always been two pick him up, Bo.
Yeah, it's been 2 years since somebody said great question.
It's been a while. Stay active, Pooley. Stay active. Thank you, buddy.
At least I didn't say, you know, Jamie, when we played.
That's another one of my favorites.
That one stings. And that one will be happening again soon. That's like the unpredictability of passing a record. Believe me, it's going to happen.
Eddie Olczyk will come through with you for that one for sure.
Eddie's the king. Yeah. Eddie's the king. Thank you, Pooley.
Have a great night, guys.
There's Dave Pullen joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota and check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory arriving daily. It's time to Toyota. Visit MapleToyota.com.
We've just become such complainers in life, especially in the sports business like us. Like, we're bitchers and complainers, man. It's
about
like,
the Ovi stuff?
No. Listen.
That's not
man.
A complaint.
It is. It's like, it's a whiny. We complain.
I think it's
about
silly.
That,
dude. I will. All right. It's a complaint. It's silly.
It is. It's a complaint. Like, all we do is like, how come the NHL doesn't have the W, like the World Hockey? How come Fanatics has the jersey? This is outrageous. How come the Boston Bruins has this ref and not the other ref? Linus Allmark, Haggerty was talking about it today. He's like, I can't believe he's not on one of the goalies for the players' poll. And it's all we do is complain. And how come Ovi, like, we just complain about everything.
Every day, you say it best, every day somebody storms City Hall with a problem.
Oh, God.
Every day, regardless if it's a big problem or a tiny problem, to them it's a massive problem, and they feel like they need their opinion out there, whether they've got 10 followers or 10 million. It's like, I need to voice my problem,
and in this industry, we got to talk about
issues. We need some self-awareness here. What do we do on a daily basis? We pull about 15 hours a week.
City Hall. I'll be honest.
The Ovechkin thing, be honest. When was the last time you remember someone being in second and having a ceremony for?
When is the last time you can remember somebody passing someone as iconic as Gordie Howe?
I just told you one. Barry Bonds, when he passed Babe Ruth. Maybe there was a ceremony
there
for that.
There had to have
been. There very well could have been.
There had to have been.
And that's
at
the equivalent. Babe Ruth, Gordie Howe. But who's third all-time in goals? Is it Messier? It's a pretty big name, I think.
I thought it was Jágr. Was it Jágr? No,
Was there a ceremony after passing...
I think Jágr gave him a shout out, though. It was like, for me yesterday, I got caught. down a rabbit hole, and I was like, "Am I? Is this retweeting old tweets?"
That's where
it's not storming City Hall,
dude.
It's
I get it,
more,
but
it's
I get
more
it.
Funny
it,
to
it,
me.
It, instead of saying, "Man, that was cool last night in Washington," they kind of, you know, they made a puck thing with all the pucks, and they're going to add to it. Pretty cool, passing Gordie Howe, and they acknowledged it. It was instead we're going. What the hell's going on in Washington?
Who gets
honored for number two?
If you're number one, then you get. It's going to be a red carpet. It's going to be a parade.
Sure, sure.
And that's just what we've become accustomed to. I'm just saying. I don't recall the last time it was a big pregame ceremony for number two.
I watched all of the shoutouts yesterday. I got caught down a rabbit hole. My new favorite thing watching on that Instagram Reels. You seen this power slap? Like where like people just stand there and smack each other across the face.
I've seen it, but I didn't know that there was a big market for it.
It's a UFC. Like I think
Dana White's involved.
These guys sit there and smack each other across the face. I swear to God, Al's brother and JP could go at it. We could have like a kumite. You've got to see this thing. It is unbelievable.
Well, there's got to be insurance. Like, these guys are smacking each other
and knocking each other out.
I know.
It's
it is
insane.
Incredibly unhealthy.
Where did this come from?
I don't know. It's a great question. Obviously, there's a market for it. Like, Dana White's invested in it. It's on national. It's got more viewers than Liv. It's on a legitimate network in the States.
Who's the Gretzky? Find out who the Gretzky is of
slappers. Of power slappers? Like, it is insane watching it. Like, there are men and women, and it just aggressive. No, insane. Insane.
I have not seen enough of it. I'm not sure I have much interest, but we'll see.
It is all weird. Right?
All right, we got Dregs coming up. I got a story coming out of baseball that I was laughing about earlier in terms of the pitch clock and how they plan on regulating it and some of the things they plan on doing to keep the games, you know, on pace. And they've been really on pace recently. But one memo or one part of the MLB memo to the players and teams today caught me off guard. I'll tell you about that later this afternoon. Jerry's percentages next.